Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and today's choices and how they'll affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. A revolution for aging better is happening in California. And once again, baby boomers seem to be at the center of redefining the aging process. Today, over 90% of seniors in our community want to continue to live independently in their own home. More importantly, they want to stay connected to their community and to continue to do the things that are important in their lives. Many cannot do this without some type of support, and in the coming years, this system will become taxed as the baby boomers age and resources become strained. My guests for today's show are Dave Kuykendall, San Luis Obispo or Slow Village Board President, Taria Lanala, board member for Slow Village. Charlotte Dickinson is Executive Director of Slow Village Movement California, is going to be joining us by telephone in just a moment. And Elizabeth Abrams, Slow Village member, is here to talk about a consumer's perspective of one of the villages here on the Central Coast. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our discussion with your thoughts, comments, and questions by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And I welcome all of you today. Charlotte, are you there and can you hear me?
I am here. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate you calling in. And thank you, Dave and Taria and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, you've also got with
my husband, Joe.
Your husband, Joe, is with us, too. So I want to thank
Thanks, Chris. It's great to see you and always great to be here. And hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Taria.
And Charlotte, since you're kind of coming from a broad perspective here, I think all of these individuals are, but I'm going to ask you just to speak a little bit to this whole movement, Slow Village, a little bit about what it is and really how it started.
Great. Well, thanks so much. And I'm the executive director of Village Movement California, which is a coalition of grassroots organizations called Villages. And San Luis Obispo Slow Village is one of 50 villages in California and one of about 350 villages around the country. And villages are communities that are led by older adults who share their skills, support, and expertise with each other to navigate the challenges and opportunities of aging. And villages bring together older people and younger people to really make real a better experience of aging, to provide opportunities for community building, connection, relationships, ongoing growth, to provide services, to help members stay in their homes, whatever home is for them. It could be the home they've raised their family in, it could be their apartment, it could be retirement community, it could be their children's home where they're living. But when people want to stay where they are, and the idea is really to create a positive, growthful, healthy experience of aging by aging in community, aging with people, and getting help when you need help. So we're very excited about our movement nationally in California, and we've been supporting the Slow Village and are very excited about the work that they're doing.
When did the village movement start to take shape, take form and begin?
It started in Boston, Massachusetts, and you know, I don't have the time, the date of, it's over 10 years old.
It is.
Let me put it that way.
15-year-old movement.
Yeah.
15-year-old movement. Okay. So it's relatively new to addressing issues of aging. And how successful has it been in the ones that have already been started and in place? Has it been able to address some of the concerns that it set out to address, Charlotte, and in what ways?
Well, I think that it really has, and I think it's 15 years old and still growing, and I think that phenomenon speaks for itself. I will say that there is there has been some a little bit of formal research about the villages, and it has shown that people feel more connected and they feel more confident in their aging. And we know that when people are when people feel connected, when they're not socially isolated, which is something that older people are very at risk of, and when people are feeling confident and in control, we know that mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health is good. We have, and I would say that those villages that are operating know that they are reaching out and impacting hundreds and thousands of lives every day.
What kind of support does Village California give to local villages?
Yes, that's a great question. We launched our organization in May of this year, and we came out of a stated need and then a very thorough process of building an organization that will support the growth of villages, that will support and deepen their impact in their communities, and that will ensure their sustainability over time. So we have programming to meet those three goals, and one of the efforts that we're very engaged in right now is helping villages get the word out about themselves and about the village movement. We, I think, accurately perceive that villages are among the best kept secrets for people who are entering the older years, and I include myself. I turn 60 in a couple weeks, and so we're supporting them in those ways, getting the word out, and getting the word out in a way that does not reinforce or feed into the ageist narrative in our society,
which is negative, right?
We are getting a message out that says that with this explosion of the baby boomers reaching retirement age, that demographic explosion is in fact a fantastic opportunity for the society. We think about, you know, thousands and millions of people who are ready to be actively engaged, continue to be actively engaged in their community, to be giving back, to be helping solve these very complex problems that we're facing, and that want to age differently. We don't want to be sidelined. We want to say there are opportunities as well as challenges with aging. We are here to make a difference in our community, both in each other's lives as members and volunteers, and also into the life of our communities. So the messaging piece is very important to us now, as well as helping the villages grow and develop and strengthen.
And each of the villages now, as I understand it, they can take shape in providing different, it looks different depending on the community, correct? There's not one cookie cutter look to all villages.
Well, I think you're right. I think that the villages do reflect their communities and their members, and that's a very important aspect. And then the villages do share quite a few features and ideals, you know, the ideal of people maintaining control over their lives, people building reciprocal community, people creating opportunities for new friendships and deepening friendships, socialization, mm-hmm. and then whatever help people might need to stay in their homes. Mm-hmm. And those are common features, but the way that that is expressed, you're right, varies around the state and around the country.
Okay, great. And
Charlotte, I was really impressed with the work that the Village Movement California team did in finding out from older people all over the state who were participating in villages or were thinking about it, and finding out what are the needs there, what makes an environment where people can age better. So I was very impressed with that work that you folks did, and it's carried out here to our local village.
Right,
and that speaks to, you know, and I'm assuming, Charlotte, that part of the benefit of that from your group is that individual villages really are hard-pressed to do that kind of research, that kind of marketing in a startup environment. So, you know, you're bringing that expertise to them without them having to hire a consultant each time to do that work.
Yes, we're really trying to bring people together, and we do know that together we can do so much more than we can do alone. And what I found, I've traveled around the state, I visited 35 of the 50 villages over the summer, and I find that, you know, people like Dave and Elizabeth and Toria are very, very engaged, very busy launching and running the village and reaching out to local community members and doing all the things that are involved in starting up an organization. Mm-hmm. And so we can come in with resources, with connections, with a bigger picture, with some messages to support them in their work so that, you're right, so that they or others like them around the state are not having to reinvent the wheel or to, you know, make a call when we know who's out there and we know how to solve problems and help people address their challenges.
Well, Dave, let's talk a little bit about what the Slow Village looks like, what that model is based on.
Well, first of all, we took 2 years in before we actually opened our village. Doing a little local research, we wanted to find out, really, was there a need for a village? If there's a need, what are the services required? This is a town that has a lot of nonprofits.
We're talking a lot of nonprofits.
A lot of nonprofits.
Yeah.
And are there too many nonprofits? And what we found was there was a strong need to really support seniors and provide both services and connections to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, we launched the village, and basically we launched the village and found that there was a welcoming community ready for the village. And so we've gotten a lot of support. We've gotten a lot of interest. The hardest thing to do for, I think, most villages, and certainly for us, is to find the people who need the village the most, people who are isolated in the community and may not make it to the community meetings and may not hear about the villages through some the normal media. And those are the people that it's challenging to find, but it's a small community and word of mouth works pretty well.
When we're talking about aging in place, as people are aging in place, as I understand it, the concept of a village is that as a person needs more resources, the village provides access to more resources in ways that are easier for them.
Yes, we're a volunteer first organization. So a member calls up and they say they need a ride or they need some help in the garden or a handyman. We provide that generally first through a volunteer. But we also work with other organizations to make assessments and determine whether or not there is additional needs. So as people age, things change, and they may be in need of having installed some more safety apparatuses in their home. They may need some additional help. And so we work with other organizations, and we don't reinvent everything. There's some great nonprofits in this town that really address some of the issues. And so we call upon them to come in and to be part of the solution.
And so the benefit for being part of the Slo Village is that individuals make one phone call to the Slo Village rather than having to call all these isolated different or having knowledge of all of these different places to get help.
Exactly. And sometimes it's quite simple. My fence looks like it needs to be repaired. Is that a need for a handyman, or do I need to bring in a professional?
Right.
What are the decisions I need to make?
Yeah.
And so we'll bring a volunteer in to help the member through that process.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a lot more enjoyable. It becomes something that's doable by the member. But that extends to not just things like fences, but also when it comes to the health and well-being of our members.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wanted to add something important here as well, is where I think that the service piece is very, very important. And as Dave said, the village model is volunteer first and then coordinating and leveraging other resources that are in the community. But I think what really distinguishes the village, and we learned this through the extensive research we did and through the marketing firm that we hired, is that what makes us different is that we are engaging those very people who we might be helping in building a community where they are known and seen. And one of the things that happens in our society because of ageism is that older people are erased. You, an older person, retires, and they're just erased. And we can provide these one-off services.
Mm-hmm.
But what about being part of a community, part of a group of similarly aged and similarly interested people, so that I'm not challenged, I'm not addressing, for example, these challenges with my home by myself, that I know that there's a group of people who've got my back,
mm-hmm.
and that, in fact, I can call on the village to help me determine whether the handy person or whether a professional is needed to fix something in my home.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also go to their events, and I can also call other village members and meet them for coffee. I think what we are trying to counteract is this idea that, and it's very much prevalent in our society, we're in a very individualistic society, and even when we use terms like age independently at home, we want people to maintain their autonomy and their agency, but we need each other, and older people need each other. And so we're creating a context in which people are connecting and building relationships, so that when the volunteer goes over to assess whether the person needs a professional or whether they can just take care of the issue in the home, a relationship is being formed. And with that relationship and with that trust, there's a greater sense of well-being. And so it's the relational piece that really distinguishes the villages and is a major benefit.
Yeah.
And that's borne out in the little bit of research we've been able to do on
yeah,
the villages.
That, you know,
I wanted to add that.
And looking at that, I mean, just hearing you say that, Charlotte, one of the things that really makes sense is that, and especially because we're addressing as the incoming flux of elderly is, as we keep talking about, this big bolus of baby boomers that's coming through. These are people that were in a situation of highlighting work and relationships of work as being their predominant ways of forming relationships and social relationships. Oftentimes, when they retire, those things can go away, and then they become isolated. And especially if the relationships that are the primary relationships happen to be ones with a spouse. Those can go away if something happens to the spouse, either through divorce or through death. So isolationism becomes part of the complex problem. And you're saying that this really addresses those kinds of situations. So that makes absolute sense.
I was going to say, you know, people of all ages, whether you're young, whether you're working, or whether you're a senior, you need to grow. You need to learn, be in the process of learning. You need to basically have things important to you and to grow. And that's just a little bit more difficult sometimes for seniors because of that disruption from work, disruption of losing a friend or a neighbor who is supporting them move away. So they're a little bit more sensitive to this issue and basically need at times that system to support, you know, their ability to grow and to learn and to live.
Yeah. This
Can
is
I
Chris.
Just come in here and say that I was thinking only this morning that one of the isolating things is if you can't drive, and we neither of us can drive.
Yeah.
And so very quickly calling up the village and asking for a driver was what I did. And I've only said to Joe this morning that it's interesting that while we've lost one or two friends, we've made new friends from the through the village. Sometimes I'm almost tempted to say to the person, well, will you come on next week at the same time? And then I get a slap on the hand from Dave because I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to... it works most of the time that I try, but sometimes, of course, you get a call the night before that you've got something that you can't drive. So what I'm saying is the isolation that you have from not being able to drive is offset by the village giving you another circle of friendships, actually.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So, and I want to talk more with you in just a moment, Charlotte, because I think you bring some wonderful perspectives in. This is Chris Kington Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. The village movement has been emerging nationally and in California and more locally in San Luis Obispo. But what is it and why is it so relevant to aging and baby boomers? My guests today are here to talk about that. And you're listening to the voices of Dave Kuykendall, San Luis Obispo Slo Village Board President, Taria Lanala, board member for Slo Village. Charlotte Dixon is here on the phone with, and she's the executive director of Village Movement California. And Elizabeth Abrams and Joe Abrams are here, and they're Slo Village members. You're invited to join us in our discussion with your comments and questions. You can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. And I want to get back to you, Charlotte, and also Elizabeth. And feel free to step in, Joe, too. How long ago did you join the village?
Well, we were very fortunate, really, because we were asked to be the guinea pigs. And before you actually opened, which was, I think, in 1916, is that right? It was the year before last.
So somebody knew you and thought you were perfect for the village.
Somehow, yes. I went to a meeting.
You went to a meeting.
We've known someone who we've worked with before, and he was approached.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to us, there's going to be this organization structured, and I'll let you know. And eventually he let us know that there was a meeting held at French
Hospital.
What did
you like that you heard?
Well, what I liked that I heard was that I was going to be able to, I could tell that I was going to gradually need more help.
Okay.
And I have a built-in resistance to going into a home.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the homes here or the one particular home here is called The Villages, so there's always confusion.
There is confusion, isn't confusion, there? Yes. Yeah.
But this is not that part of that village group.
So this is not
Slow Village. Yeah. That's what I call it.
So you live in your own home.
So we live in our own home, and I was at boarding school as a child, and that was a structured organization, live-in situation, mm-hmm. with lots of rules, and I don't want to go back to that. And so that was when I heard from Russ that this meeting was happening at French, and we went, and then we just waited until somebody approached us. And that's my memory anyway, Dave.
Well, if the Slow Village was going to have a poster with pictures of members, you would be on that poster. I think you're an ideal representation of what we're looking for, right. And what we see in the community, and that is somebody who is very active, they're independent, they do things on their own, and they just simply want to stay connected. And so this is a perfect match. We're able to help Elizabeth and Joe stay connected, and they are off busy doing things. And so it's a ideal kind of relationship.
What are you still doing? I mean, what activities do you still get up and get out and do and are important to you?
Joe can tell you himself what he does. But I still do a yoga class for older folk.
Uh-huh.
I do it at St. Stephen's most weeks, except the week that they come to my house. They come to my house once a month. And then I go out and do my own shopping. What is isolating is not driving.
Yeah.
Now, I was never a person who was in love with driving in California.
Mm. So we're on the wrong side of the road, aren't we?
Yes, we are on the wrong side of the road. That's true. But at the same time, I miss not being able to hop into the car and go over to some place and pick up a bag of potatoes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so it was a great boon to be able to call for drivers. And then, of course, I've forgotten what your question is, but...
Well, you do yoga, you do your own shopping.
Yes.
Yeah.
I try to do walking at least three times a week, and I get people from the village, Slow Village, to come and walk with me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people who, interestingly enough, you know, you make friends with, you're walking. And
right.
You get chatting, and so... the other thing is, I need help with the computer, and Dave has given me some help with it, and going to give me more.
Mm-hmm.
And
how about you, Joe? What kinds of things do you still like to do that you get some help with?
Well, I'm pushing 102.
I would never, ever, ever, and I'm not just saying this, guess that about you.
I have a macular degenerative thing
where
I can't see the center. Whatever it is I'm looking at, I can't see.
It's
if I'm not looking at it, I can see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had to give up driving some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't read the paper. Reading has been, and writing has been the center of my life. And when my eyes quit, I had it deep inside my head, I'm going to kill myself.
Mm.
It goes that deeply.
Yeah.
And I have this wonderful life companion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked myself up and went forward. I'm retired. I'm a psychoanalyst and a leader in the group therapy field. And still that. And I have one patient that I treat on the phone and another who comes to the house.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm writing three books at the same time.
Uh-huh. What are these books on?
Well, one of them is about Atascadero State Hospital.
Oh,
called Circles of Change. It's about to come out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then I got seven other books that I published. One of them is pertinent to this particular meeting, it's a democracy from the grassroots. And as we've been coming out with our stuff, the issue of grassroots in our personality,
yeah,
and in the organization comes to the fore. So what are the grassroots? Do the grassroots keep on growing, or do we die?
Yeah.
I think it must be a wonderful opportunity for a Slow Village volunteer to come and read with you and read the newspapers and
exactly.
discuss those
exactly.
issues with
we
you.
We both grow a little.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So do you have a student or you have a volunteer?
I have three students.
You have three students
that
who
we
come.
Pay.
Uh-huh.
From Cal Poly.
Uh-huh.
And they come to the house. And they read to me.
Yeah.
And then I dictate a note.
Yeah.
And from the notes, I come out with my books.
That's fantastic. Yeah. What and they're learning from you the whole time.
I consider them to be, what's it called?
These are your apprentices.
My apprentices.
Yeah.
And my coordinates.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. And before you got involved with the villages, were you doing this?
No, I was independent and all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah. But we did have a brush with the co-housing movement.
Uh-huh. A brush with it. Yeah. Yeah, there was an attempt at co-housing.
It's here. Still it's operative.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. two local co-housing developments that are successful, one in Oceano and one in Paso Robles,
right.
And I believe in this coal business.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if Liz had gone along with it, we'd be a member of that.
Oh, here comes
Liz. It was
Liz
who put a stop to it, and it was Liz who put a stop to it about the one in Paso Robles, which they were marvelous people. But when I went, I don't have any children, and I didn't want to saddle myself with being grandparents to a lot of children that I didn't know, and I felt that that was going to happen.
Well,
but the real thing that stopped me was a friend of mine, David Brody, who said to me, "You shouldn't leave. You'll miss all your friends in San Luis Obispo." Mm. And I thought about what he said, and he was right.
Well, and this is an alternative housing choice of staying rather than co-housing, which is going into another housing environment that is shared. There is shared common housing, like Liz is talking about. This is staying in your own original home or your own home and being able to bring resources to you.
Or developing a new shared living arrangement with someone else.
Yes.
Sometimes a person could move in with someone, such as a home share. And also just having the volunteers to be able to come to one's home. Our volunteers could start out at any age. And we have some folks who are early retirees. And they just want to volunteer, be a social member, engage with other older people. And then as a person progresses, they may find themselves needing the kinds of services that Elizabeth and Joe are talking about. So we want to see aging as a holistic process, a conscientious process, not something where somebody reaches a certain age or state of health and gets dumped into an institution.
Or stops living. Mm-hmm. Or stops. I mean, what a wonderful thing, Joe, for Cal Poly students to read to a gentleman who's 102 years old, who is teaching them back and taking dictation from them for a book he's writing that is so relevant to their lives today and for the future.
And when they come out with stuff, we put it into the book.
When they come out with stuff, you put it into the book. Yeah. So it's a shared creation, right?
Shared creation. That's
yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Multi-generational. I mean, that's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. Charlotte, I wanted to ask you now some of the different models for volunteers. Some of the models are like the Slow Village, which is you have individuals who sign up and become volunteers, and they've got different things that they volunteer for, different skill sets. Are there other models in California for the volunteer portion of?
I think what's common across the villages is that members, volunteers sign up and they're generally interviewed and vetted and we make sure that. We want people to feel comfortable with who's coming into their home. So there's a whole vetting process. I think what volunteers volunteer for, I think some commonalities are transportation, handy person, friendly visitor, that kind of thing. And then in some villages, I think most villages, volunteers are also helping to run the organization. They're helping to build and lead programming, interest groups. I mean, when Joe talks about grassroots, our villages are real grassroots organizations where the volunteers are helping to make the whole thing run, in addition to providing maybe services to members.
I was going to point out one thing that's kind of unique about being a volunteer for a village is that our volunteers volunteer when they have time. They pick from a list of requests, so they see all of the requests that our members have made, and they are a driver, and they see that they have time, they drive. So they do as much or as little as they can do, and they do it on their own terms. So it's not like every Wednesday at 2 o'clock you do something. It's when you have the opportunity to do that. And what we found out is that our members love doing this. They make connections. They, at times, they are aggressively going after it because they want to take Elizabeth for a ride to the doctor. And they're really engaged in participating, not just at the service level, but at the social level and that connection.
That's fantastic. This is Central Coast Voices, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker, on KCBX Public Radio from Salinas to Ventura and on the web at kcbx.org. My guests are Dave Kuykendall, San Luis Obispo, or Slow Village Board President, Taria Lanala, my tongue's not working today. Board member for Slow Village, Charlotte Dixon, has joined us by telephone. She's the executive director of Village Movement California. And Liz and Joe Abrahams are Slow Village members, and they've joined us here in the studio. We're discussing how the Village Movement has a role in redefining aging in place for many of the 78 million members of the baby boomer generation that are expected to live longer than previous generations, although not longer than you, Joe. Definitely not longer than you. You can bring your comments and your voice to today's show by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. This show is live, and we'd love to hear from you. And question about the idea of volunteering, too. Does it also engage the members of the village to bring their volunteer skills to help one another?
Yes, we very much encourage our members to participate. So if a member can't drive, they can make courtesy calls. They can make connections. Elizabeth hosted a tea. I think you called it a tea, or did you call it a Good Friday party? It was an event at her house. Members also do things like we try to have social events, so they plan the social event. So they're very much engaged in the activities of the village.
Is there education, too? Do you have different classes and different things that are offered to members?
Yes, we try to have a variety of things. We have a recent partnership with ELSI. and that is Lifelong Learners of the Central Coast.
Uh-huh.
And they have some excellent programs. So we're working with them to make sure that our members are aware of their classes, and we can drive the members to those classes and make sure that they participate. So very much we try to have a variety of things. Educational is, I think, one of the key things. People are interested in learning new things and activities, and I think that's important for membership.
Yeah, also important for staying sharp.
Mm. The ones I especially liked and remember is we live streamed Atul Gawande, MD, uh-huh. who's a popular author on senior topics and aging. And also we provided a course, a seminar in how to do end-of-life planning.
Great. That's fantastic. Now, Slow Village would lead me to believe that this is just in San Luis Obispo. Is that accurate or not?
That is not accurate.
Okay.
We started in San Luis Obispo, but we really are covering the South County, so the five cities in Napomo.
Okay.
And we also cover Morro Bay and Los Osos. Our longer-term plans are to be able to provide services up the grade to North County. Before we can do that, we need to establish a base of volunteers and be able to start providing the service and connections. And so we see that down the road, but currently we're not in that area.
Okay, so the goal is Slow County.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about how, if someone has an interest, what they do from there. How do they?
Well, we have a website, of course, so you can go to slowvillage.org and get information. We have an upcoming event at Dignity's Copeland Pavilion, in which we're going to be talking about the revolution, revolutionizing aging, and we're going to have a wonderful speaker there. Charlotte is going to be speaking.
Well, Charlotte.
Yeah.
So this will be on October 3rd at the Copeland Health Education Pavilion behind Fresh Hospital in San Luis, over off Johnson Avenue, from 2 to 4 p.m., and light refreshments will be served. We're also partnering with Dignity Health and the Area Agency on Aging and the Lifelong Learners of the Central Coast for this event.
So people can come and listen to the topic of the revolutionizing aging, but also talk to Elsie about upcoming classes and talk to Area on Agency about other services in the community. So I expect it to be a great event.
Yeah, and for people to qualify for the village, let's talk for the Slow Village. What's the age range?
So we ask that you be 60. So at this point, Charlotte is not eligible, but she will be soon.
Yes.
And we also, for the transportation services, we ask that a person be mobile, so they can't have a motorized wheelchair, for instance. And we also ask that the people don't have any major memory issues, because the keeping appointments and being there for services or being involved in some of the activities, it would be difficult. So those are the requirements.
Is there an application process for the village, and is there a cost?
Yes. Well, there are definitely costs involved in this, and we're raising funds through memberships as well as grants and donations so that we can reach low-income people as well as people of means that can afford to become members themselves. We offer a year-long membership for an individual for $500, and for a couple or household, it's $750. That entitles you to full services. We go on a sliding scale basis with subsidies for anyone that, you know, in San Luis Obispo County, the cost of living is just really high.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple that makes $29,000 a year in San Luis, that's considered the poverty level.
Right.
You're going to have a membership in Slow Village with us at no worries at any level of income.
Okay.
So, yes, please do contribute if you can, $500 a year for an individual membership. and contribute out of your heart. If you're not a member, you could become a social member at $250 a year.
And what is a social member?
So a social member is a member who participates in all of the activities but does not themselves need any of the services.
Okay.
And so they're a critical part of what we do. They're yeah. engaged. They're part of the social connection and very valuable. A lot of them basically are waiting in, you know, and becoming a social member and being engaged in the community. And at some point, they may take and need services. Some of our volunteers are the same way. And that is, they volunteer with the idea of the village is going to help them when they are in need of some of the services. So it's a community with some very fuzzy lines, but all of the activity points to helping people age better.
When Slow Village did our original local research before we started, the biggest thing that I remember hearing about was, oh, I can't afford a large membership fee. You know, there are people that have money, and you can purchase just about any service you're going to need, including home health services. There are people who are extremely poor or low income and may qualify for assistance from the government. Then there's those people in the middle, and those are a lot of the people that we want to reach, folks that may not be able to afford services, and we're going to be able to help with that. So the subsidized memberships was a large component of the founding of this to assure that people weren't left out and didn't fall up through the cracks.
And how many members do you have now, or how many households do you have?
So we have 48 members now and 40 volunteers in the village. So the village is a little over 80 people right now. We grow the membership and the volunteers at the same time. So we need to make sure that there are both volunteers and members and associate members to make up the village and to be available. One of the interesting things is if you're interested in being a member, the normal process is we like to meet for coffee somewhere, or if you like, meet in your own home and talk about what we do and how we do it. And if that is an interest to you, then we follow up. But the important thing here is that it has to work. If it's something that is not working for you, then we return the membership money and we point you in a direction we think that you might be where the services are correct. And we let you go on your way and try to help you get there. But it has to work for you for it to really be of value to you and to us.
Yeah, okay. And listen, how long have you guys been members? Since the very beginning?
Since
you were
the
member number one and two. And I won't say who was one.
Yes. Yeah.
I won't say who's one. It would be Joe. Of course it would be Joe. Yeah, he wrote that in the book. Yes. Is there something else that you like about the Slow Village, Joe?
I'm stimulated.
You're stimulated?
To want to take on a project as a result of this. As to what are the reasons for success and failure? What's the natural history of villages, the village movement? And what kind of people got together and how come they got together and what way they grew and what way they didn't?
Yeah. Yeah. Charlotte, do you have any research that you can put your fingers on that speaks to what Joe's asking?
Well, I do know the origins in terms of people getting together in Boston, and you know that origin story. But I think I would be very interested in learning more about, well, how did it take off and why, and what kinds of people get involved. I do think that there are many founders and members and volunteers who are take charge people and who want to make sure that their lives as older people are full and engaging, and want an insurance policy, for lack of a better word. And then there are members, you know, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Those are interesting questions.
Would you engage in that project with me?
Sure.
Joe wants to do some research. He's got
okay.
He's got a little time on his hands. Not much. But he could spare you a little bit.
Somebody in the history of this outfit has already started accumulating data
yeah.
on this call. It's operative somewhere, and we have to find out where it is.
Yes.
I have a couple of reasons why I wanted to help start Slow Village. And one is that my mom is in her 80s. She lives in Santa Maria. She still lives independently, and she still drives, but only in the city of Santa Maria due to her own concerns. And she's still pretty healthy. I see a lot of ways that a village could benefit her and mm-hmm. would like to see a village in Santa Maria. I know that there's people like her here in San Luis Obispo County, and so that was one of my main reasons for joining. The other is I see people in long-term care facilities. Disclosure, I'm a long-term care ombudsman, and so I care for them there and watch the care that they're receiving and want to see the best possible care and the best, highest quality of life for older people that are living independently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that you know, in answer to your question, since you're starting your research, Joe, you know, the answer for me would be very similar to Tarja's too, of having had a mom who had a stroke and could no longer live without resources in her own home. She had her own home up in Paso Robles, and we ended up having to move her into an independent living. And even though she was in independent living, it wasn't her own home. She hated it. She absolutely hated it. She felt that independent living for her was a zoo for old people. That was her quote.
Let me into one of them.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a marvelous place.
You loved it?
I loved it.
Yeah, see, some people that were there mm-hmm. loved it, and I thought it was very sweet. I thought it was wonderful, but she hated it. So,
well, I'm sure I would be with your mother, and I didn't exactly.
My mother was German, so it's the European women didn't do well right. in this, yeah.
But I wouldn't say that I exactly put him in it. I had surgery in January, and it was necessary for someone to look after him full time, and the easiest way was
I can see why. Yes. He just runs amok, yes. I'm sure.
Yes. So, but I wouldn't, well, as you've already said, European women have a different approach. Mm,
they seem to,
that's
yeah.
That's it. One thing that interests me is I know two people, both of whom would benefit thoroughly from being members. And I can talk about it more some other time, but neither of them will. And I wonder what it is that really sometimes stands in people's way. I suppose it's that they want to be completely independent.
Mm.
That's all I can think of.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm wondering if maybe I should invite them to an event or something like that
Absolutely.
See if they can be encouraged that
Well, if
way.
You were inviting people to an event, which we're doing right now, we're inviting people to look further into something like a village. Give me one reason that people should look into it, Liz.
Because you can't, there are times when you have to admit that you're the age you are and that you need help. It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And the alternative, as we've all discussed here, is not a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Aside from my complete opposition and your mother's complete opposition, it's not the greatest to be turned out of your home.
No.
Where you've, you know, collected stuff. And and we've all collected stuff that's, you know, over the years. And there's something about being at home that is important.
Yeah, there's something about being at home. Yeah, Charlotte.
I would add that I think what with our focus on relationship and community building, and really working to combat ageism and the sense of isolation and individualism, that what I find myself talking about is we can never have too much community.
Mm-hmm.
And we need community throughout our lives, and mm-hmm. we have various communities that we're part of as we grow through the stages of life.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're older, we really need community in order to be able to navigate this stage of life, which has many, many rewards and riches and opportunities and has some significant challenges. And if we can do that with other people, it's not as scary, it's not lonely, it's perhaps a beautiful thing. And so I'm hearing around the state, as our village leaders and staff talk about the benefits of joining the village, that when they talk about community, and someone might say, well, I'm not ready for the village, because people might not be ready to have someone drive them around or someone visit them. But we're sort of saying we're always ready for community. What is it about community that you're not ready for? And if we match that language with opportunities to get to know each other, the social events that Dave and Taria are talking about, and with the classes and the opportunities for learning, you know, how are people going to say, why are people going to say no to that?
Yeah, and we're running out of time, so I want to just acknowledge that absolutely there's a big difference between isolated and having community, but also being able to have your own peace and alone time. You can do that
yes.
with community.
Yes.
So I want to thank my guests, Dave Kuykendall, Slow Village Board President, Taria Lanala, Board Member for Slow Village, Charlotte Dixon, Executive Director, Village Movement California, Liz Abrahams, and Joe Abrahams, Slow Village members, and wonderful guests today. I'd also like to remind you that next week, Fred Monroe will be speaking with Ruth Ann Angus, Catholic Board President for People, Faith, for Justice, and Director of the Yes We Can Peace Builder, and Lindy Althaus, who's Peace Builder Chairperson for the Rotary Club of Paso Robles Sunrise, to discuss how local communities are involved in peace building on the Central Coast. And thank you, Dave and Lanala, for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Really appreciate it. Your comments.
Thanks, Chris.
For future shows are always welcome and appreciated. Send them to KCBX at voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.